Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Mark. The last thing you read in your Bible reading this last week, yesterday, in fact, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to be looking to a familiar story, but one that we can most definitely still glean from. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we read this. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also other with him, other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Lord, our hearts need to be just right before you, listening, calm, for us to glean from this. This is a story that quite possibly we have heard from the time that we were small children. It's a wonderful story. But Lord, there's far more, you know, than a story here, and that's why you had it placed in your word. Because there are lessons that are as big as life that we need to glean from this. So, Lord, I pray that you would help your servant as the delivery comes and help us all to listen. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that is going through a storm in life, that they would be able to, by your Spirit, concentrate enough to hear this, what we have in you. Indeed, as we mentioned earlier, you, our Lord, Christ, is all. You're all that we ever need, and we're going to see that. So, Lord, help us now to discern. Give us wisdom. You said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But, Lord, then you said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we come in a childlike faith, asking you to speak to us. And we rejoice that that is exactly what you will do. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. One of the most memorable nights we spent in Israel, my wife and I, was when we stayed at a place called Noph Gennesaret, right there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. We were there for 3 nights. The last night that we were there in that particular part of our trip, Friday night, there was a thunderstorm over the Sea of Galilee. And I mean, there are all kinds of images that just wind up coming back. When you think of nights just like this, now it was nothing like this, but it was just a joy to be there to see that and to imagine what it might have been when Christ was here on earth, when the disciples were here. And there would be these storms. When going through challenges and great difficulties, people will often call them storms of life. Often it's a time when, quite honestly, you feel like life is out of control. How many of you, and my hand is up, How many of you have ever had a time in your life when you felt like life was out of control? It's not a good feeling. Seriously. We can kind of kid about it, but when you're in the middle of it, it's tough. Because I don't know, and I don't know about you, but I know this. I don't like feeling out of control. Now the world scoffs at people that believe in Christ. The world scoffs at people that have put their trust and their very lives into the control of the Savior. I remember when I was in construction, there'd be guys that, you know, they would laugh and they'd say, you know, people like you, you need that crutch. You need that religion. And I always thought it was kind of interesting because while they were saying it, they were sucking on a cigarette. I'd rather trust Christ than tobacco. I'd rather trust Christ than alcohol. Biblical Christianity is not a crutch. It is a confidence. Biblical Christianity is not a crutch. It is a confidence. Narratives, just as we are looking at here, narratives like this are meant to carry us through those times by of biblical truth and on. They may but 50, 60, and beyond, they are absolutely a wonderful resource when it comes to leaning on. Now, storms like this were very common, are very common when it comes to the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee, as we were taught when we were there, in Israel, is a very unusual body of water. It's relatively small, 13 miles by 7 miles, but it's 150 feet deep, the Sea of Galilee. The shoreline is 680 feet below sea level. With the mountains that are surrounding the Sea of Galilee, there can be wind and such that comes in and absolutely kicks up. When the downdraft comes in, the storms that are able to be made there in the Sea of Galilee can be horrendous when on that little sea, you can have waves up to 20 feet. Imagine on Lake Tahoe, which is far bigger, having waves 20 feet. That's what they can have in the Sea of Galilee. The storms usually didn't happen at night, though. And it was at night that this took place. So they were stunned. The disciples were stunned when it comes to the appearance. This is what would take place. With the disciples out there on the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee, they would immediately, when the winds came up and the storms came up, they would lower the sails. The oars would come out, and the experienced fishermen would become the leaders. They'd keep the boat facing into the wind. They'd keep the oars in the water. They'd pull together and keep a steady hand on the rudder. When that takes place, Lord willing, everything's going to be okay. And this is exactly, because they were experienced seamen, four of them on there, this is exactly what they would have done. The problem is, it wasn't enough. It wasn't even close. Now, you might be in a situation where you feel like, you know what, I've done enough. I think I'm going to be okay. And guess what? It's not even close. Think about that. Now, the first lesson for life in this passage, and maybe we didn't even notice it when we were reading it. Look at verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, what do we got to do when Jesus speaks? What do we need to do? We need to listen. Now, what did Jesus say? We're going to give it our best shot to pass over to the other side. That's not what he said, did he? We're going to pass over to the other side. Have there been any promises that God has given you? Let me ask you something. Does he keep his promises? Did we hear his voice? They're going to get to the other side. The tough times come when the storms of life make us forget what he said. You ever forgotten what the Lord said? You read God's word and you go, I wish I'd remembered it said that. Listen, did we ever hear the Lord when we read in time past, in this passage, hey, I noticed he said something. Let's pass over to the other side. With that in mind, let's ask ourselves this. Do we hear the Lord when we read his words in Scripture, even right now, this last week, when he says things like, I have called you friends. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. No man can serve two masters. I will not leave you comfortless. Lo, I am with you always. Do we hear these things? Or is it possible that when we're reading God's word, right then at that moment, you know, I'm doing okay on my own. The preacher said I need to read my Bible, and so I'll read my Bible. And the stories are interesting, and wow, I've been out on a storm on a lake too. Boy, that's really something. Number one, not like this one. But number two, we've got to understand, every time when we get into God's word, you are hearing something you need for life. Because the spiritual life and wealth is all I pray we always. Let's go to verse 37. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven and seeing if there was anybody in one of those other little ships that got saved, because they said, man, we were watching and you wouldn't believe it. Look at verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So again, let's recap. How many men are in the ship? How many men? No. There's 13. There's Christ, and there's the disciples. One person was asleep. Who was that? Jesus was asleep. Now, four others are accomplished sailors. The other eight, they see the storm come up. And you know what they're saying? No problem, because we've got four experienced sailors with us. We can sit back and we can watch them take care of it. Or if they ask us to do something, hey, they don't look afraid. They've been out here before. There's no problem. Peter and the boys, they'll get us out of this jam. Piece of cake, no sweat. They had faith that they could get them out of the storm. They know what they're doing. They've been here before. But here's the problem. The situation went out of control. I'm wanting you to grasp that. Because with certain mechanisms we have in our culture, we have things that we rely on thinking they'll take care of us. Ultimately, nothing will get out of control or very little. No, you have stuff that happens and it gets out of control. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. Jesus, when he spoke, he said, Peace be still. That literally means be silent, be muzzled, and remain so. It was used by the disciples, by Christ and others in that time, to speak to demonic forces. There are those that have speculated that it's very possible that this storm was allowed for Satan was trying to destroy Christ. He didn't succeed. By the way, he never will. Because we are in him, He'll never be able to destroy us. Our challenge is we have to be found in him, trusting him. Again, verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And like we read, and they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The disciples, fearful for their lives, call out to Jesus who's asleep. He arises and calms the storm, then turns to the men and rebukes them for their lack of faith. He tells them they were fearful. That's verse 40. The word that's used there literally means timid, afraid to the point of giving up. How are ye so fearful? But when they saw him calm the storm, the Bible says they feared. The word that is used there means to be stricken in awe and amazement in the presence of something greater than yourself. So there was two different types of fear here. So the Lord gave the disciples an incredible lesson, but he also gave us one as well. So, are you ready to do this? How many of you are ready in that possible spot in your life? Maybe it affects all of your life. Are you ready to go from question to confidence with what we've learned here? I hope you are. Take this down, please. Number one, there is a purpose in your storm. Write that down. There is a purpose in your storm. If there is one area that is the cancer to the Christian, it is unbelief. It is unbelief. Listen carefully, please. Unbelief leads to discontent. And discontent says, God is not enough, therefore I must have something more. I can't just simply trust God. There's got to be an oar I can grab onto. Anybody know where the life preservers are? That's how it gets. There is a purpose in your storm. The purpose in this storm is made obvious by the question that the disciples asked. Go back, if you would, to verse 38, the last part. Watch this. The reason why the storm came up, it's obvious here. Carest thou not that what? You got to be a little bit louder than that. We perish. What were the disciples thinking about? Themselves. The disciples were thinking about themselves. Now listen, I don't know about you, but when the storm arises in my life, I become self-centered in a big way. What about me? Lord, you've got to help me. I don't like this. And Lord, if you are not going to meet the need, I need something more. And I've got news for you. There's not a person in here that hasn't looked for something more other than Christ, because you're made out of the same stuff I am. You looked for something or someone that could help out. Your ultimate faith was not in the person of Jesus Christ. Please, please, please catch this. Don't choose the acts of self-preservation. The purpose of the story, the purpose of the story is not to put focus on the storm. Wow, that was some storm. Did you see that, dude? I haven't seen one of those since 58. No. Everyone has storms in life. Are you listening? The purpose is to teach this. In your storm, put your focus on Christ. Don't put your focus on yourself. Don't put your focus on something that you can read. You know, I got to get something. We've got to begin and end with Jesus Christ. You know why? Christ is all. Don't put the focus on the storm. Not the waves, Not the water, not the wind, Christ. Because Christ is all. What he taught us, his promises, his presence, all of it. That's what you put your focus on. Now, you might be going through a storm right now. It could be a family storm. Ever been through a family storm? How about a job storm? And all God's people said? How about a medical storm? How about a financial storm? How about an emotional storm? And how about where all this stuff leads to, a spiritual storm? Well, I got storms, folks. This is why this is here. We are to learn. Bring yourself to a fellow believer that will help you look to the Savior in the storm. Don't look to someone where you can just rattle off about the storm over and 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 over again. That doesn't do anything. Pray not to be like those who keep the focus on the storm, who reiterate over and over again. And by the way, they will try to persuade you that their storm is worse than your storm. And they've had more storms than your storm. No, don't deal with those. Look, this is a deadly form of pride when all we can do is talk about how the storms affect us. And somehow my storm is worse than your storm. And I've got to tell you all the details all over again about my storm. You see, pride is the stone over which most people stumble. And when we talk about storms, boom, it can bring up something about, you know, our pride big time. When you read this passage, your attention ought to go from the storm to the Messiah. You see, he's the one that was at rest. While they sweated, he slept. When they raised the alarm, he simply raised his hand. And he still has the power to do that. Just that. Which brings us to the next point. Write this down, please. Your storm is never out of control. Your storm is never out of control. Oh, it's out of your control. It's out of my control. But it's not out of his control. He who creates the storm can calm the storm. It's never out of control. You know, we often look to and even quote, and I love the verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his, all of a sudden I forget the last word, according to his purpose. How many of you like that verse? Praise God, it's a good verse. But you know what we sometimes forget? Look at those two words, all things. You know what that is? The things are the storms in life. The things are the challenge. Now, because the disciples are right where they're at right now, they are ripe for two soul-piercing questions. And maybe somebody else is right there too. Listen to what Christ says. Because of what they did and what they said, and after what Jesus did, he looked at them and he asked two questions full of purpose. Why are ye so fearful? And then, how is it that ye have no faith? Now follow me on this, please. First of all, he said, why are ye so fearful? He can ask that because they've had somewhat to understand, they've come somewhat to understand about who he is. Who is he? He's Messiah. They have seen him. They've watched him work. The problem is this timid fear did so much to bring obedience and trust to an absolute grinding halt in their lives. There are times that we wind up seeing something and we wind up being paralyzed in timidity. I can't move. But the Lord said, move. I'm frozen, you know, I mean, I'm right here. What am I going to do? And the Lord says, go forward. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know, how is it that we wind up giving in, like the Lord talks about? He says, don't fear man, and I'm paraphrasing, don't fear man that can just kill you. Fear the one who not only can kill you, but he can cast your soul in hell. Fear him. That's where our reverence goes. The scripture tells us, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Yet fear still paralyzes us. Fear of man, fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear even of what God asks us. Remember what you read about Joseph this last week? Keep your finger there in Mark chapter 4. Go to Genesis 45. Genesis 45. Because again, this is one of those stories that we absolutely love. Here was Joseph. He's now number two in the kingdom. And here come his brothers, and they want food. And here he is, and he's remembering, even though he made himself a stranger to his brothers, he's remembering all that took place with him. Is he bitter? No. Hold a grudge? Uh-uh. Did he ever give up trusting God? No. Look at chapter 45, verse 4. When he finally made himself known to his brethren. And Joseph said unto his brethren, this is verse 4, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For who? God did not send me before, excuse me, for God did send me before you to preserve life. They've been full of fear concerning what they might reap when it comes to the Lord and Joseph for how they treated him. Joseph, on the other hand, was full of faith that God worked to save life. Listen, live a life pleasing to God and you can watch the Lord work even with joy in the storm. Joseph was in the storm, but he trusted God. He didn't have his eyes on the storm. He had his eyes on his God. Meanwhile, when the difficulty arose, you see, when the difficulty arose about going into Egypt to get the food, and Joseph challenged them without showing himself to them, all of a sudden, their focus is on the storm they created. You know, we shouldn't have done that to our brother Joseph, which is right, they shouldn't have. But see how God worked. Again, folks, we're to keep our eyes on the Savior, not on the storm. And then he asks this question. Go back, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. First he says, why are ye so fearful? But then he asks this, how is it that ye have no faith? He can ask that because the disciples have already witnessed the power of God. Now think about it. We have read God's word. You love reading God's word, say amen. Amen. Over and over and over again, and rejoice in the power, in the promises, understanding the presence of God, the power of God, the purpose of God, and then he gave us the prayer closet. So why is it that sometimes our faith falters? Not in our reading this last week, but Paul gives us a hint in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Which brings us back to what the disciples didn't do. The Lord said, we're going over to the other side. And the disciples didn't really hear him. Now, how many of you practice this thing called selective hearing? What is selective hearing? Huh? What? Hey, yeah. You know, How many of you, now listen, how many of you have ever practiced selective hearing on your spouse? Raise your hand. Honey, are you sure? Can you all give us 2 minutes? We got to talk. I'm remembering a spot. Listen, if we are immersed daily in His Word, that's great. Let's read it. But let's hear it to heed it. You know, sometimes, you know, people have said because of this, you know, man, all it gave me was 2 chapters to read. Yes. Read them. Don't be like the disciples. I'm not listening. You ever been there? See? Oops, sorry, buddy. You do this. I do this. We go from question to confidence. There's a purpose in your storm. Your storm is never out of control. Thirdly, lastly, write this down. Your calm is in His plan. Your calm is in His plan. How do I know that? He calmed the storm. You know why? The purpose was finished. How do we know this? I'm glad you asked. Go back to verse 41. The focus of the men is now on Christ. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Why did the storm come? Because Jesus is there and He had something to teach the disciples. At first, they're focused on the storm. Oh, maybe when the storm started coming up, you know, they wouldn't have had, you know, years like this yet, but remember the storm of 58? I tell you what, I remember the storm of 73. No. They're looking at the storm, and all of a sudden, it's the mother of all storms. In fact, you know, there was somebody that we read this last week that had the mother of all storms. And we'll get to that in a minute. But remember the 2 words that were used when it comes to fear? What was it the first word meant? It meant timidity. And then the second word for fear that was used, it meant to stand in awe, to be in awe of somebody far greater than yourself. Stop and think about this. Would it not have been better if they would have had the second fear first? Instead of being timid about the storm, how about if we're in awe of what Christ will do in the storm? That's what I want to learn. When the storm comes up, Lord, I'm glad You're here because You are all-powerful. Lord, I'm trusting You. My flesh is wanting to go all over the place, but I'm trusting You. I'm not going to have fear freeze me in my footsteps. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, your faith. I mentioned that there was somebody that we read this last week that was in the mother of all storms, all mercy. And as soon as I say his name, you'll say, yeah, that's what I'll tell you. And I'm so glad I'm not going through it. Go to the book of Job. One of my favorite, absolute favorite passages this last week. Look at Job 23. Oh my. Did Job go from question to confidence? He did it in one verse. Watch this. Then Job, verse 1, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. You ever feel like that? I want to come before him. I want to see him face to face. You are with him. That I might even come to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Watch this. in one verse, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put confidence in me. Excuse me, strengthen me. In one verse, he went from question to confidence. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Say this verse with me, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, verse 10 is the solid gold verse for us to finish on. It tells us the outcome our Lord desires concerning the storms he allows in our lives. For the disciples, he knew what was coming, the storm, the waves, and their response. But the lesson was learned over time, and the results can be found in the book of Acts, as well as the epistles, John, Peter, James, and the Gospel of John. His desire is the same for us. Gold. Solid gold. When we read of those men that were in that boat that night, and they went through the storm, slowly but surely they are putting their trust in him. Yes, they all forsook him, but then when they received power from on high, they all came back, and here they were, trusting God, preaching the word, with boldness, by the way. And because of that, like Job, they came forth as gold. Do you remember what we're taught about the refiner with the precious metal like gold and silver? When does he know that the job is done? When, after taking off the impurities, he can look into the metal and see his own image. That's what happened with these disciples. That's what can happen with us. If there's a storm in your life right now, the Lord is in control. Not you. He is. And the purpose is not for you to look at the storm, get all crazy about the storm, talk about the storm over and over and over, but to be looking unto Jesus like they did and be in awe of him. What manner of man is this? He has taken me from the time I trusted him to this time. He has preserved me, and he will continue. I am in awe of him. Christ is all. Let's pray.